Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Throughout the New Testament, St. Paul, St. Peter, they all bid us to be sober-minded, that we would not become drunk on our passions or on our desires, that we would not be driven by them, steered by them, as it were, that they would not be so in control of our lives that whether we are happy or sad or anything in between, that those were the drivers sitting in the driver's seat instead of sober-mindedness, the Word of God. This is not to say that emotions are unimportant in any way. It is simply to say that our emotions are not the primary thing. And that is why all of the passion accounts just give us the facts. There are no lurid details, no great adjectives describing our Lord's death, no adverbs, just the facts straight away. Because we need to remember what happened. We need to know what took place. But we ought not get wrapped up in all of the emotion, because that is what set this all off to begin with. Why is Jesus, after he enters victorious, as king, hailed as king on Palm Sunday, why is he led to the gallows? He's led there because of the envy of the Jews, because the treachery of Judas, because of the weakness of Pilate, because of the cowardice of the disciples. The Jews hated our Lord because he was not like them. He was one who taught with authority. He was not like them. He knew the scriptures inside and out. And he dared, even as one 30 years of age, to go toe-to-toe with the scriptures in tow with those who were older. And they hated him for it. They hated him because he was no respecter of persons. He cared only for the truth and for the truth alone. He is the best pastor and shepherd ever to be known, and they killed him out of envy. Then, of course, there is Judas's betrayal, his treachery. He seeks out to bring about the demise of Jesus because he's not doing it the way that he would do it or that he saw fit. The weakness of Pilate. My hands are tied. I wash my hands of this man's innocent blood. Our Lord admits, you have authority. You have been granted this authority by my Father above. And you can use it either for good or for ill, but you do have authority. But because he feared what they would think, because he feared that they might rise up against him, that he might lose his position before Caesar and before others, he gave them what they wanted. He caved. The disciples who were with our Lord for 3 years were no better. And they should have known better. cowards. 3 times Peter denies him. All the disciples in the garden run off. In summary, this demonstrates that our Lord was put to death for the sins of mankind. For all, are not all of our own sins summed up in envy, treachery, fear, weakness, and cowardice? Are not all of our sins, all the sins of mankind, can't they be put into one of those categories? That because of envy, we lash out with our tongues or seek to cause harm and killing? Because of fear and cowardice, we let all kinds of things happen to us. We let our emotions take control. We are afraid to say no to these bad things and yes to these good things that God has called us to. But it is not just the sins of the world that brought Jesus to this point. Our Lord Jesus Christ goes to the cross in obedience because of the Father's will. We can spend a lot of time here this evening thinking, who's at fault? We can point to the Jews. We can point to Judas. We can point to Pilate and the disciples. And yes, it's true, they all bear fault. We can even look in the mirror and say, yes, we are at fault. That Adam is the reason. And all who are born in the natural way according to the flesh have inherited the sin of Adam. We can spend our time shifting the blame and pointing fingers. Or we can confess our sins where we have done wrong. What we have done and left undone, where we have let envy and cowardice and weakness and treachery rule over us, confess them and give thanks to the will of the Father and the obedience of the Son who accomplished the forgiveness of those sins on this night. That when the Father saw that the world had been plunged into sin, he made a promise. He cursed the serpent with these words: I will put enmity between your offspring and the woman's offspring, and he will crush your head. And from that time forward, throughout all the Old Testament, the people who were listening to God were looking for that promise to be fulfilled, and in Jesus Christ it is. That is the reason I have come into this world. For that is what his name means. God is our salvation. And so the Father wills to send Jesus to death for you, for the redemption of the world. And Jesus goes obediently to the will of his Father. He goes for the joy that is set down before him. Because unlike us, our Lord Jesus Christ trusts his Father and his Father's word. He never doubts it, not for a second. He knows what he will have to endure. He knows the pain that he will have to go through. But he trusts that his Father will deliver him on the third day, just as it has been promised according to the scriptures. And so obediently he goes. He goes to the cross. He scorns its shame for the joy of redeeming you, of undoing Satan's curse and sins overshadowing. He goes in obedience to save you, to save you from envy and treachery, from weakness and from cowardice, to give you a place at his table as a member of his family, to live with him for all eternity in his kingdom. That is why he went. So let us this night not point fingers, but instead give thanks. Give thanks to God, the Father, whose will it was that he redeem us instead of destroy us, and to the Son, who by his obedience redeemed us by his blood, and through the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel and enlightened us with his gifts. Let us give thanks to the one who came, who saw, and who conquered for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.